And we're back on the Ref's Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan. I'm Brad Klein. Happy you could join us here on 97.7. Listen to theref.com and the WREF mobile app. It is your local sports fix. We're taking you until 6, and we're tapping into the Brinker's Jewelers Hotline. Jevin Redman, the voice of the Aces, here on WREF, talking about yesterday's game. Evansville men's basketball falling to UIC in Chicago, 76-49. Jevin, really appreciate the time. I know it's a tough game. What is the vibe around this team after a game like this in conference on the road, losing by 27?
Good question. Going in, despite the record,
yeah,
I would say the overall vibe or feeling with the team was extremely optimistic. I would say that their last three games before yesterday, the games against Bradley, Indiana State, and Murray State were their three best games they played this year, and we've talked throughout the season about looking for more consistency, especially from the guards, and they'd gotten that the three games before UIC. And going in, you know, you feel like, hey, maybe they're starting to turn the corner, and the second half of the conference season will accumulate in some wins. And then, I mean, to be honest with you, they laid a big old egg last night in Chicago. I mean, there was, and this is not me trying to be harsh or funny, there was not one positive about the game. And, mm-hmm, and Coach Ragland kind of said on the postgame show, he used the quote, it was embarrassing last night. And that was not how the team had been playing the last about 2 weeks. Before that, they had an overtime loss to a good Bradley team, 94-90. They beat Indiana State on the road and then had a 10-point loss to Murray State, who's undefeated in the conference. So, again, you felt like they're starting to turn the corner. And we talked about Leif Moeller and Bryce Connett, Alex Hemingway, all those guys kind of starting to play well together. Of course, A.J. Casey leading the charge. And, I mean, man, again, not to be harsh, but there was literally not a single positive from the game last night.
Well, you mentioned the Bradley loss in overtime at home last week, 94-90. Bradley, for those who don't know, one of the best teams in the Valley. You mentioned the 10-point loss to Murray State. They had their chances in that game, too. That's the best team in the Valley. But I'll specifically target the Bradley game. What were the major differences between the way they played against Bradley and then the way they played last night against UIC?
Yeah, well, I think we'll start with the Bradley game. Obviously, Connor Turnbull has been out last night. He ended up missing his fourth straight game, sixth game he's missed this year. And really the group of eight that were playing in his absence were playing some of the best basketball offensive that we've seen. I thought just their ball movement and their pace was more where it needs to be. And granted, when you shoot the ball well, that covers up some things, right? The Aces now have had six straight games with 15 or more turnovers. But in the three games before last night, they'd shot 50% from the field, three straight games, 45% from three back-to-back games, making 21 threes during that two-game stretch. And so that covers up some things. But, again, I just thought they pushed the ball more. Bryce Quinnett really kind of dictated the pace. Leif Moeller, his last two games before last night was averaging over 20 points per game. Hemingway had back-to-back double-figure games. So you had really just all the guys kind of playing their best basketball together, and that resulted in scoring 90 points against Bradley in the four-point overtime loss. So really, I just think the pacing of things, the ball moved very well. It didn't stick. And I thought at times in the first half of the season that was the case. Now, the ball didn't necessarily stick last night. They couldn't hang on to the ball. They had almost 20 turnovers in the game, and they had 10 turnovers the first about 7.5 minutes. And just thought the speed of UIC's guards really gave Evansville fits. UIC, in terms of how they play, somewhat similar to Murray State, where they'll play 10 or 11 guys, rotating every couple of minutes to pick you up full court pressure. And really, it was just it was frustrating to watch because Evansville, in a way, kind of looked like a JV team going against a varsity team where you couldn't handle the press. At times, they couldn't even get shots off. And then when they did, they were panicking and forcing up threes. I asked Coach Ragland about it. I said, you took 32 threes when you took 53 total shots. Was that by design, or did that kind of how the game played out because you were trailing? And it's a little bit because we got down, so big early on. You kind of had to try to come back that way. But also, he felt like guys just kind of panicked. They're turning the ball over. So when they were open, they felt they had to shoot it. They took bad shots. I mean, again, I think last night was probably the worst performance from Evansville this year.
Again, Jevin Redman, the voice of the Aces here on WREF, the Brinker's Jewelers phone line. Brinker's Jewelers can be found on the corner of Green River Road and the Lawn Expressway, an Evansville tradition since 1972. That little green box from Brinker's Jewelers, also find them online at brinkersjewelers.com. A 76-49 loss, UE. They scored the first two baskets of the game, and then the Flames went on an 11-0 run, really never looked back from there, and the Aces fall again, now to 1-8 in Valley Play. We can talk about the grand outlook of the Valley season going forward. You did mention the pressure that the Flames put on UE, and that forced the turnovers, and well, they were plentiful, 19 of them, 7 coming from Leif Moeller. We know he's a freshman. We also know that he played professionally in Germany overseas before coming to UE, so I think a lot of people expected him to be a little bit more poised. What's the fix in real time as we sit in mid to late January? Is there a fix for a freshman point guard thrown into the Flyer who's clearly having trouble adjusting to the college game and the pressure that comes with it?
Yeah, I will say, I mean, so Moeller's numbers last night were not pretty. 1 of 7 from the field, 4 points, 7 turnovers, 3 assists. And really, turnovers, there's been maybe a game or two here and there. They haven't really been a problem for him. I mean, we've talked about his shooting and wanting him to be more aggressive offensively. But heading into the game, he had 78 assists to 44 turnovers on the season. That's not bad for a point guard. You know, he's third best in the Valley in terms of assists per game. So I don't know if that's really been a major issue. It's been more so that Evansville's needed more scoring out of him. But last night, it just seemed like the game was too quick for him. And really, it seemed like it for a lot of the Evansville guards. And Evansville, the last 3 or 4 games before last night, it really built the chemistry and the pick and roll with A.J. Casey, whether that being Kunet or Moeller. And they just weren't really able to do that last night. I mean, Moeller probably had 3 or 4 turnovers in that pick and roll trying to find Casey, and the ball gets deflected and stolen. And just thought UIC was more aggressive defensively. They really forced Evansville out on the perimeter. I mean, heck, Evansville was starting their offense 2 or 3 steps inside the half-court mark, you know, with 15 seconds of shot clock. So they're just really forced out and never really got any good shots or good looks. So, as far as adjusting the game, I think Moeller over the last 2 to 3 weeks has done a good job, and he's played more like Evansville needs him to play to win some games. Last night was an outlier during that stretch. So, yeah, to answer your question, I don't really feel like turnovers have been a major problem in his game this year. It's been the offensive numbers, but last night, obviously, turnovers were a problem.
Look, no one played well last night against UIC. Yep. I'm not trying to make it seem like one player would have made the difference, but, of course, Connor Turnbull being in as one of the best rim protectors in the Valley, as the reigning defensive player of the year in the Valley, that probably would have been a nice addition. He's been out, like you said, for the last handful of games. What's the outlook on him? Because UE needs him in the worst way.
Yeah, so he was genuinely a game-time decision last night. He went through warm-ups, and when they made the update to the Valley, has the availability report. I don't know if the OVC has that. Do they have that this year, the availability report? Okay. So it's newly instigated probably 2 or 3 weeks ago that they started doing that, so teams have to give a questionable or out report 24 hours in advance for a tip-off, and he was listed as questionable. He came out an hour before, went through his warm-ups and pregame rituals, and then about 4 minutes for tip-off, they ruled him out. He continued to go through warm-ups, but then did not dress. So, yeah, he's really day-to-day. The hope was he could play last night. I know talking to Coach Ragland last week, that was kind of the timeline. I would say he still has a chance to play Sunday. But the thing with Turnbull is, before last night, the question was, well, how does he fit back in the offense? Because Evansville really had probably gone their best 3-game stretch offensively without him. Now, obviously, Evansville wants him on the floor, especially for defensive purposes. But, you know, you look at points in the paint. Bradley last Tuesday had 48 points in the paint. Last night, UIC gets 46. Some of that because of turnovers and layups at the rim. But, you know, I think with the speed of UIC, they got into the paint so easily, and Evansville didn't have that rim protector there. So, yeah, I think Turnbull would help out. I don't know if he solves all the issues that Evansville had last night defensively the last couple of games. But certainly he provides support around the rim, so it'd be nice to get him back hopefully soon from that aspect. And then it'll be interesting how they work him in offensively, because at times when Turnbull's on the floor, the ball kind of stuck and there wasn't great flow or movement. But with this group of 8 for the most part, without him, we've seen quite a bit of progress from the offense. So, yeah, I think whenever he is available, I wouldn't be surprised to see Turnbull come off the bench to start. Obviously, he'll be in limited minutes, you know, just kind of throwing a number out there, probably around 15 minutes a game would be my guess. And I would think that he'd come off the bench until he gets back into rhythm and then, you know, reevaluate after that.
Look, Jevin, hindsight, it's 2020, and I'm asking this question because USI is having the same trouble. Points in the paint in only 2 different games against D1 teams this year has Southern Indiana outscored the other team in points in the paint. And like you said, yesterday it was 46-18 in favor of UIC. Yes, Turnbull as the rim protector, he'd be nice there, but in hindsight, Was this always going to be a problem with UE basketball this year, the way the roster was constructed, with a freshman in Leif Moeller and a smaller freshman in Bryce Gwinnett at the guard spots? They're getting beat off the dribble and then drive inside and leave a guy like A.J. Casey, or when he's healthy, Connor Turnbull, in a vulnerable spot to try and limit those points in the paint.
Yeah, I think it's unfair to ask Turnbull to solve all the issues you have as far as your perimeter defense, right? I mean, he can't block every single shot. And looking back on it now, it was probably unfair to think that this team would automatically be good defensive because you returned two of your big shot blockers in Turnbull and Hughes. I mean, Last year Hughes was in the top five in value in blocked shots, and this year, I don't have the number on me, but I know it's around like five total blocks the entire season for Hughes. So he really hasn't been impactful in that area. So, yeah, heading the season, I thought, man, this is going to be a great defense team because you return your two bigs, two of the top five shot blockers in the league. And, again, I think the perimeter defense, Leif Moeller has been a little bit slower than I anticipated just with how his game is. He's not overly athletic. You mentioned Bryce Gwinnett being a smaller guard. Alex Hemingway is not as quick as he was a couple years ago at Clemson because of some injuries. So, yeah, I think the perimeter defense, as far as guarding on-ball stuff, has been a struggle. And bottom line is, I mean, watching the game last night, we're courtside in Chicago, and UIC was just a full step quicker than Evansville, and sometimes there's really nothing to do about that as far as staying in front of them. They were just flat out quicker and more athletic, and they showed that with their 27-point win.
Got some time for UE to decompress, to catch their breath after that loss, a 27-point loss last night in Chicago. But the next game on Sunday, and this is actually, even though it's kind of a dark day for UE after a 27-point loss in Chicago, the upcoming game against SIU, that's a winnable game. Southern Illinois is second to last in the Valley, whereas UE is the last place team. And, well, the Aces did just beat the team that SIU, is tied with. That's Indiana State. That was a couple of games ago. So, against Carbondale, how do you feel about this matchup for the Aces coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it's a big game. Obviously, not in terms of standings. You got two teams that are toward the bottom. Mm-hmm. But what I'm getting at is, and Brad, I've talked to you for a couple years on the show, and I know at this point, I try to be fairly honest in my assessments. And if the team's playing well, I'll say they're playing well. If they're not, I'll tell you they're not. Like last night, and I've told people that I really feel like, with the Aces record of 1-8 in the Valley, could easily be a 500 team in the conference, a lot of close losses. I feel like this group is a much better than a 1-8 team. There's been Evansville teams where that's not been the case. They just didn't have enough talent. And before last night, I would have said, hey, this is a much better than a last-place Valley team. And I still think they had the chance to do that. What I'm getting at is Sunday's a big game in terms of it's very winnable against SIU. You're at home, a team that's 2-6 in the Valley. They've lost some close games as well. They struggle shooting the ball from the perimeter. I think it's a big game because if you don't win that and you're sitting at 1-9 with a trip to Iowa coming up, and the Iowa trip has not been kind to Evansville in previous years.
Yeah.
And I just feel like the season could unravel in a way, and it's funny saying that because they're 5-15, but you get what I'm saying. That the second half of the conference season could really be ugly. So I think Sunday's a big game just from a morale standpoint. Now, not only do they need to win, they need to play well, they also need to win, because we've had plenty of games where they played well and not won. They got to find a way to get a victory on Sunday at home heading into Iowa, because you look at the next stretch of games, SIU is winnable. I think Drake on the road is winnable because Evansville had them beat here at home, and Drake's not your typical Drake team from previous years. Northern Iowa will be tough, then you have Indiana State at home and at Valparaiso. So really, I would say in this next stretch of five games, four are very winnable for Evansville. So this is a big next 2 weeks for them if they want to have any chance to get out of cellar in the standings.
Jevin, really appreciate the time. You're the man. I know it was a late night last night after a tough loss for UE. So for you to do it today, really cool. Thank you so much for doing it. And, we'll see what happens on Sunday for UE basketball against Southern Illinois. Like you said, big game, and we're looking forward to it.
Hey, late night, early morning, however you want to look at it, it's fine with me. But always good talking with you, Brad, and have a good week.
All right, with that, we take a step aside. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Ref's Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan on 97.7. Listen to TheRef.com and the WREF mobile app. Don't go anywhere.